Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Text number 20. Here, okay, more about the special status of Srimad Bhagavatam. According to the authority of other Puranas, evam skandhi prabhasa kondi cha yatradi kritya gayatrim ityadi sarasvatasya kalpasya madhyaye shur naramaraha tadvritanto dbhavam loke tacha bhagavatam smitam likitva tacha ityadicha ashtadasa sahasrani puranam tatrikirtatam iti tadevam agni purane cha vachanani vartante. One second. Similarly, the Prabhas Kanda of the Skanda Purana contains this statement, where the Gayatri Mantra is the focus of discussion, and among the various scriptures known on earth, the one that recounts the histories of the humans and demigods of the Saraswata Kalpa is called the Bhagavatam. A person who transcribes a copy of the Bhagavatam and, one second, and Hare Krishna, it's really a pain. And this Purana is said to have 18,000 verses. There are also similar statements in the Agni Purana. Commentary. No, not commentary yet. Scrolling is not working right. Oh, commentary. There's a commentary on this piece of the Anuchet. In Sarvasamvadini, Sri Jiva explains the verse cited here from the Skanda Purana and reconciles an apparent difference of opinion about the sequence in which the Mahabharata and Puranas appear. So let's open that file. Where is it? What directory? What directory? Here. Open up file 14. Okay. Now let me see. You know, can I see that directory again? When you copy those three files, oh, I see the 2, 3, and 4 is only in this version. Okay. All right. Okay. Save what? No, what are you barking?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, 21. Okay. here the Sarvasamvadini says, Sri Bhagavata Swarupa Gyani Pramanantaram Aha Evam Skanda Iti. The words beginning Evam Skandi offer another authoritative statement to give us understanding of the identity of Srimad Bhagavatam. Yatra ityadikam chapadyam yata matsyam eva gyeyam saraswatasya iti tat kalpa madye ya bhagavallilas tat sambandinaha ye syur naramaraha iti kalpantara bhagavakata tu tatra praik ye vetyartaha sacha padma kalpa mato shrinu ityadya. Yatra vishesha vakyam tatran yatra kvachit eveti geyam. I think that's it. No, there's more. Okay. Now, you having read that quote from the Skanda Purana, it sounds familiar to what we've already seen from somewhere else. But Jiva Goswami is pointing out what's special about this version. The verse beginning Yatra should be understood the same way as the statement of the Matsya Purana, cited by the Tattvasandarbha in Anuchet 19.2. Of the Saraswata, that is Kalpa, means in relation to the Supreme Lord's pastimes during that Kalpa, day of Brahma. It said the men and the demigods who lived in the Saraswata Kalpa. But what the real focus is the pastimes of the Supreme Lord in that kalpa. Then the words, those men and demigods who live then in that kalpa, implies the idea that, in contrast, narrations about the Supreme Lord mostly concern other kalpas. Really?
That's not what the Sanskrit says.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Kalpantara Bhagavakata. Okay. Bhagavakata and other kalpas. All right. The words, those men and demigods who live in that kalpa. Oh, I read that. Those other narrations are indicated in the statement. Now hear about the Padma Kalpa. Okay, that's at the very end of the second canto. Padma Kalpa. That's the same as the Saraswata Kalpa, is described beginning with the third canto. And we have a lot of description of men and demigods, especially the dynasties of the two, the solar dynasty and the lunar dynasty, are described as they occurred in the Padma Kalpa. And where specific statements say so, we can understand that narrations about the Lord sometimes involve other kalpas. Oh, I see. I'm sorry. Saraswata Kalpa means relationship, especially to the Lord's pastimes during the Saraswata Kalpa. But the men and the demigods are described in other kalpas also, and the Lord's pastimes, to some slight extent, are described in other kalpas. This is what Jiva Goswami seems to be saying here. And I continue. Atra pabasa kande yet ashtadasha purana avibhav anantaram eva bhadatam prakashatam iti shuyate. Tat shri bhagavat virodad bharat arta vinir nanyaha iti shri bhagavat mahatmya virodad cha purvam kritam api bharatam tat paschad janamajayadishu pracharitam ityapekshayaiva gyeyam tadevam pramanam prakaranam vyakyatam. What we hear in this passage from the Prabhasa Kunda about the Mahabharatas being manifested after the appearance of the 18 Puranas apparently contradicts what Srimad Bhagavatam says. Bhagavatam seems to say the other way around. Okay. It also seems to contradict what is said in the glorification of the Bhagavatam, cited in 21.1, in the words, it establishes the meaning of the Mahabharata. We can reconcile this by bearing in mind that the Mahabharata was first composed and sometime later presented to Janamejaya and others. With this, we finish our explanation of the part of the Sandarbha that discusses the correct means of knowing. Okay. That means now that we will shift to a different topic, we've settled that the Bhavatam is our means of knowing. Now we're going to investigate, well, what does the Bhavatam have to say? So the rest of the Sandarbha will be the Tattva Sandarbha, describing the absolute truth or the truth revealed in the Bhavatam in the most general terms. Just a brief general outline of how the Bhavatam presents the absolute truth. That will be brought into clearer and clearer focus in the later Sandarbhas. But this is just talking about tattva, most generic, general concept of the absolute truth. Okay, now that was the Sarvasamvadini. Now we go back to the rest of Anuchet 20, beginning with 20.2. Tika krit bi pramani krite puranan tare cha. So another Purana cited as authority by the commentator Srila Sridhar Swami. Jiva Goswami just refers to Tika krit. Sometimes he just says he says this, and we are meant to understand that the main commentator that we deal with here is Sridhar Swami. He doesn't have to be named. This is cited by Sridhar Swami in Sridhar Swami's commentary to the very first verse of the Bhagavatam. And we don't know what Purana it comes from. The verse is Grantoshtadasha Sahasro Dvadasha Skanda Sammitaha Hoyagriva Brahma Vidya Yatra Vitra Vadastata Gayatriya Cha Samarambas Tadvai Bhagavatam Viduhu. This is all information we've been given before, except for about the Hayagriva from Avidya. But this just piles on more and more evidence, more and more opinions of various Puranas about the special authority of the Bhagavatam. Actually, it doesn't say anything special, that the Bhagavatam is anything special. It just describes the contents in this verse. Anyway, Sridhar Swami cited it, and it says, the book known as the Bhavatam contains 18,000 verses in 12 cantos. It describes the meditation on the Supreme, taught by the sage Hayagriva. Sage Hayagriva. Not Hayagriva Bhagavan, avatar, not Hayagriva Asura, but a sage who's named Hayagriva. And describes the killing of Vritra. It begins with the Gayatri. That's explained. Atra Hayagriva Brahma Vidya Itti Vitra Vada Sahacharyena Narayana Varmochyate Hayagriva Shabdain Atra Ashva Shira Dadichir Ev Ochyate. Since the phrase, the meditation on the Supreme, taught by Hayagriva, is mentioned alongside the killing of Vritra, the phrase indicates the, quote, armor of Narayan prayer. The name Hayagriva refers to the sage Dadichi, who had a horse's head. It's stated in the Bhagavatam he had the head of a horse. He began the meditation on the Supreme known as the Narayana Varma. That he had a horse's head is made clear in the Bhagavatam's sixth canto by the words Ashvashira, he who was called horse-headed. Horse-head. That section of the Bhagavatam, I didn't read the Sanskrit for this. Tasya Shirastvam Chashashti Yadva Ashvashiro Nama in the sixth canto. Itra prasidam narayana varmano brahma vidyatvam cha etat chutva tato vacha dandyan ataravanastayo pravargyam brahmavidyam cha satkrito satyasam shankitaha iti swami tiko tapita vachanena cheti. That section of the Bhagavatam indeed presents the Narayan Varma as a meditation on the Supreme. Srila Sridhar Swami also confirms this by citing the verse, "Hearing this and feeling honored, Dadichi, descendant of Atharva, anxious not to break his promise, taught the two Ashwini Kumaras the Pravargya method and the meditation on the Supreme." What's the Pravargya? Yeah, it's an offering of warm milk to Indra in the morning and to Soma and somebody else in the evening. Sunrise and sunset is offered twice a day. It's actually part of the Agnihotra sacrifice, simple sacrifice, and all the more complicated sacrifices, including the Soma sacrifices, include the Pravargya. In the Agni Chayana 11-day Soma sacrifice, there's a more elaborate version. There's a constant flow, I forget what it's called, something dada, where you make like a aqueduct or a big chute that you pour the milk down and you keep it going for quite some time, several minutes, pouring down the chute. But it's all based on the simple Pravargya sacrifice that every Vedic Brahmin has to perform twice a day. And the description of the sacrifice in the Shrauta Sutras, or actually the very first mantra of the Yajurveda, Ishe Twam, Urje Twam, it begins like that. You are for food. Isha is food. You are for strength. And you're talking to a stick, a palasha stick. Why do you talk to a stick like that? Well, the Advaryu priests have to make that stick a special stick. What's a stick used for? It's used to chase away the calf so the calf doesn't drink all the milk. Because you have to offer this milk to, in this case, Indra. It's actually Ishe Twa, the at least Sayana says that this means that you are meant for the offering to Indra to make him strong. But it's not just any old stick. It has to be a sanctified with mantra stick. You have to make the stick magical, and that's the purpose of the Yajurveda mantra. And that's the beginning of the Pravargya ceremony. And also the very beginning of the Yajurveda. Next, 20.4. Sri Bhagavatasya Bhagavat Priyatvena Bhagavata Abhishtatvena Paramasatvikatvam Yata Padme Ambarisham Prati Gautama Prashnaha. So now we're talking not just identifying the Bhagavatam according to what it contains, but now we're going to get into the essence of what's special about the Bhagavatam. Statement in the Padma Purana, Puranam Tvam Bhagavatam Patrase Puruto Harehe Charitram Daitya Rajasya Prahladasya Chabupate Tatra Vanjuli Mahatmye Tasya Tasmin Upadeshaha. And continuing, Ratrau tu Jagarakarya Shrotavya Vaishnavikata Gita Nama Sahasram Cha Puranam Shukabashitam Patitavyam Prayatnena Hare Santoshakaranam. Okay. Now, what's special about Srimad Bhagavatam? Srimad Bhagavatam is most perfectly in the mode of goodness because it pleases the personality of Godhead. And because devotees of the Godhead very much prefer it. Well, how do we know that? How do we know that it pleases the personality of Godhead? So we cite the Padma Purana about that. As we find in the Padma Purana, in the questions posed to Ambarisha by Gotama, O ruler of the earth, do you sit before the deity of Lord Hari and recite the Bhagavat Purana, including the story of Prahlad, the king of the demons? Also in the Padma Purana, in the section glorifying Vanjali Mahadwadashi, Gotama instructs Ambarish, one should stay awake during the night and hear narrations related to Lord Vishnu, the Bhagavad Gita, the thousand names of Vishnu, and the Purana spoken by Shukadeva. One should read these aloud with careful attention to give satisfaction to the Supreme Lord Hari. So Lord Hari is satisfied by it, and at least Gotama is promoting, recommending Srimad Bhagavatam. It's dear to, it pleases the Lord and it's very dear to his devotees. That is an argument to show that it's more sattvic than the other sattvic Puranas. Tatraiva nyatra ambarisha shukapoktam nityam bhagavata shrinu patasva swamukenapi yadichasi bhavakshayam skande pratlada samhitayam dwaraka mahatmye. Shri Bhagavatam Bhaktiya, Shrimad Bhagavatam Bhaktiya, Patate Hari Sannidhau, Jagare Tat Padam Yati, Kula Vrinda Samanvitaha. Elsewhere in the same work, which means Padma Purana, is the statement, my dear Ambarish, you should listen regularly to the Bhagavatam spoken by Shukadeva. And if you want to see the end of your material life, recite the Bhagavatam with your own mouth. Also in the Prahlad Samhita of the Skanda Purana, in the section describing the glories of Dwaraka, one who remains awake all night in front of the deity of Hari and recites Srimad Bhagavatam with devotion goes with all his family to the abode of the Supreme Lord. Okay, we don't recommend that as a regular process to stay up all night, because we have a program, we have a schedule to follow during the day. But you could do it once in a while if you want. Stay up all night. Yes? Okay. Yeah. You can. Yeah, special night. Commentary. There is no doubt that Srimad Bhagavatam is one of the main Puranas, because several Puranas include it in their lists of the 18 Puranas, and no such lists exclude it. But tantric worshippers of Devi, the consort of Lord Shiva, have raised a controversy, asserting that the Bhagavatam referred to in those lists is actually the Devi Bhagavatam, with which they, this is coming from Baladeva Vidyabhushan, who also wrote about this in his Siddhanta Dharpana. Not Siddhanta Dharpana, in his Prameya Ratnavali, is that the name? Yeah. Okay, they say that the Bhagavatam is really the Devi Bhagavat, which they claim is the real Bhagavatam among the 18 major Puranas. We do have the Devi Bhagavat, but we consider it a minor Purana, not one of the 18 major ones. Without directly embroiling himself in this controversy, Srila Jiva Goswami here cites several statements from other Puranas that include convincing evidence of Srimad Bhagavatam's rightful place in the Puranic list of 18. So Jiva Goswami doesn't mention the Devi Bhagavat, but Baladeva Vidyabhushan, later on, when the controversy got more heated, more controversial, then he had to deal with it. Actually, there are two Devi Puranas. Both of them have been given the title Bhagavatam on the grounds of their being dedicated to Bhagavati, Devi. Well, Bhagavati is the Asya Devata, is the meaning of the pratyaya that you add, sadita pratyaya. And it's an adjective, So if Purana is neuter, then even if it's dedicated to Bhagavati, it'll become neuter as an adjective describing Purana. Bhagavata Purana, about Bhagavati. Of the two, only one of the two has features that could lead to the mistaken idea that it is the Bhagavatam referred to in the Puranas. So one of them is discounted, can be ignored because it doesn't have the right characteristics. The other one seems to have the right characteristics. One, it has 18,000 verses. Two, it is organized into 12 cantos. Three, it begins with a form of the Gayatri Mantra, namely, Sarva Chaitanya Rupam Tam Adyam Vidyam Chadimahi Budim Yanat Prachodayat. That's actually Gayatri Meter. And it means, let us meditate on that primeval energy of knowledge who embodies all living beings. May she inspire our intelligence. Four, a few episodes in the life of Prahlad are described in its fourth canto, although without revealing much of his true saintly character. Five, its sixth canto tells about the killing of Vritra. The Devi Bhagavat thus shares five of the characteristics attributed to the Bhagavatam mentioned in the Puranic verses cited in Anuchedas 19 and 20. But the verses mentioned here list four special characteristics not found in the Devi Bhagavat. Bhagavatam. I think I'm spelling it both ways. Devi Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam, okay. The Bhagavatam discusses events that occurred in the Saraswata Kalpa, also known as the Shweta Varaha Kalpa, the day of Brahma in which Lord Vishnu's incarnation as a boar has a white body. Two, it describes the Brahma Vidya taught by Hayagriva. Three, it was spoken by Shukadeva. Four, it is a narration of Vaishnav character that one should recite in front of the deity of Lord Vishnu. So those four reasons don't apply to the Devi Bhagavat. The Devi Bhagavat talks a lot about Shukadev, but it's a different Shukadev. It's a Shukadev that gets married. Yes? No, he's not speaking. There's narration about him, but it's not spoken by him. The verses cited from the Matsya Purana and the Skanda Purana's Prabhasa Kunda in texts 19.2 and 20.1 share some of the same phrases, as do the following verses from the Agni Purana, 272nd chapter. Yatra adikritya gayatrim kirtyate dharma vistadaha vitra sudavadopetam tad bhagavatam uchyate saraswatasya kalpasya proshtapadyam tu dad tad dadit ashtadasha sahasrani hema simha samanvitam. In the beginning of one of the Puranas, the Gayatri Mantra is the focus of discourse. In that Purana, all the ramifications of true religion are enunciated, and the killing of the demon Vritra is described. The Purana that has these characteristics is called the Bhagavatam. It deals with the Saraswata Kalpa and has 18,000 verses. One should place it on a golden lion throne and give it as a gift in the month of Praushtapad. That's mostly repetition of what's said elsewhere, but it's additional confirmation that the real Bhagavatam has characteristics that don't occur in the Devi Bhagavat. Okay, so much for the Devi Bhagavat. The unidentified Puranic verse cited by Srila Sridhar Swami as mentioned in text 20.2 specifies that the Bhagavatam recounts the Hayagriva Brahma Vidya. Although Hayagriva is also the name of an incarnation of Lord Vishnu, who appeared with a horse's head and spoke the Vedas to Lord Brahma, Srila Jiva Goswami says in text 20.3 that the Hayagriva mentioned in 20.2 is different. He is the sage Dadichi, who taught the Ashwini Kumaras two vidyas, or systematic meditations, on the Supreme for aspirants on various levels of realization. Okay, the Pravargi here is not the ritual, but it's actually the name of a meditation. That's what we read in the next paragraph. The Upanishads give instructions on several such vidyas, among them the Pavargya taught by Didichi, otherwise known as the Prana Vidya, a meditation on the Supreme in the form of the life air. The Chandogya Upanishad, first part, 11th chapter, introduces the Prana Vidya. This is actually where that Pavargya is taught, in that part of the Chandogya Upanishad. Katama devate ti prana iti hovacha sarvani ha imani bhutani pranam eva abhisam vishanti pranam abhyujihite saisha devata. Which is the controlling deity? Question. He answered, it is prana, the air of life. All beings enter within prana, and all rise up again from prana. This is the controlling deity. In the Vedanta Sutra 1.1.23, Srila Vyasa offers the aphorism Ata Eva Pranaha to prove that the Prana Vidya is not merely a depiction of a subtle physical energy, but a transcendental meditation on Brahman. Okay, 1 second, I got to make a note. Okay. Continuing. Commenting on this sutra, Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan says in his Govinda Bhashya, Prano yam sarveshvara eva natu vayu vikaraha kutaha ata eva sarvabhutot pati pralaya hetu tva rupa dramalingad eva. This prana is the Lord of all, not simply a transformation of the element air. Why? It is characterized as the Supreme in that it is the cause of the generation and destruction of all beings. The second vidya taught by the Ashwanis to Didichi was the Narayana Kavacha, a meditation on God in many of his personal forms, for protection from various kinds of danger. The same Narayana Kavacha is recited in the 8th chapter, text 12 through 34, of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto. Although it is taught there by the sage Vishwarupa, a grand disciple of Didichi, to Lord Indra. His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, in a purport to his translation of Srimad Bhagavatam 6952, elaborates on the story of Didichi's teaching the Brahma Vidya. The following story is narrated by many acharyas in their commentaries. The great sage Didichi had perfect knowledge of how to perform fruitive activities, and he had advanced spiritual knowledge as well. Knowing this, the Ashwini Kumaras once approached him and begged him to instruct them in spiritual science, Brahma Vidya. Didichi Muni replied, Prabhupada used this term, Brahma Vidya. Didichi Muni replied, I am now engaged in arranging sacrifices for fruitive activities. Come back some time later. When the Ashwini Kumaras left, Indra, the king of heaven, approached Didichi and said, My dear Muni, the Ashwini Kumaras are only physicians. Please do not instruct them in spiritual science. If you impart the spiritual science to them, despite my warning, I shall punish you by cutting off your head. After warning Didichi in this way, Indra returned to heaven. The Ashwini Kumaras, who understood Indra's desires, returned and begged Didichi for Brahma Vidya. When the great sage Didichi informed them of Indra's threat, the Ashwini Kumaras replied, Let us first cut off your head and replace it with the head of a horse. You can instruct Brahma Vidya through the horse's head. And when Indra returns and cuts off that head, we shall reward you and restore your original head. Since Dadichi had promised to impart Brahmavidya to the Ashwini Kumaras, he agreed to their proposal. Therefore, because Dadichi imparted Brahmavidya to the mouth of a horse, the Brahmavidya also became known as Ashwashira. Okay, any questions on that, Anuchade? Okay, Damodar Gopal.
Before I ask a question, there's one technical thing here.
Yes.
In your references, if you look at Anuchade 2.5.
20.5?
Yeah, 20.5.
Yes.
You write there in the Sanskrit 169. And then it doesn't correspond with the, in the translation, it's 168.
No, that's okay. Those numbers have to be adjusted.
Okay, yeah.
That's because, anyway, some technical reason, but they haven't been fixed yet.
Okay.
The numbers in the translations are not going to be right. We'll fix them later, okay?
So I had a few questions about what we read in the Sarvasamvadini.
Well, okay. Go ahead.
Starting from... of the Sarasvat Kalpa means in relation to the Supreme Lord's pastimes during that Kalpa, day of Rama. And then the words, those men and demigods who lived then in that Kalpa, implies the idea that in contrast, narrations about the Supreme Lord mostly concern other Kalpas. I know it seems like a direct contradiction in that you say that.
Well, there's two different things. There's description of God's pastimes, and second, description of other people's past activities. So it seems like, what's being said here is that the Lord's pastimes are mostly, as described, are occurring in the Sarasvata Kalpa. No, but. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, it is confusing.
Because you say that it means, okay, those
pastimes that the Lord performs in the Sarasvata Kalpa.
And then you say,
and then we say, because when it says those people who, men and more and demigods who lived in the Sarasvata Kalpa, that means that it's especially actually activities of kata of the Lord in other kalpas. That seems to be a contradiction. Okay.
But the narrations, okay, the narrations of the Lord in. In that kalpa, I mean, in the Bhagavatam, are mostly concerned with other kalpas?
Seems to be what it says, but I can't answer this now. I'm going to make a note about it and look at it, okay?
And then I have another question.
Okay, other question? But do you have a comment to answer that? Okay.
It says, narrations about the Supreme Lord mostly concerns other kalpas. That means maximum of the pastimes, narrations about Supreme Lord concern to the other kalpas.
But doesn't that seem to contradict the previous sentence?
No, but we know that the whole 10th canto describes Krishna's pastimes and which I assume it took place in this particular kalpa and this particular yuga, Kshatriya Yuga, because in the 28th cycle only Krishna comes.
Which one is the Sarasvata Kalpa? Which? Svetavra and Sarasvata are the same.
Yeah.
So Krishna's pastimes, as described in the 10th canto, are occurring in the Sarasvata Kalpa.
But here,
it's the current kalpa.
Yeah, it's so our kalpa is Shvetavaraha
kalpa, also known as the Sarasvata kalpa.
But that's why. So how is it that the narrations of the Supreme Lord mostly concerns other kalpas?
Am I mistranslating the word prayaki?
It seems like what
Okay, I'm going to make a note about that problem. What does Tatra refer to? Okay, I'm more puzzled than you are. I think I have to just leave this for me to look at further. Sorry, I can't answer it now. Unless someone else has the answer. Yeah? I'm too busy typing to give it much thought right now. Maybe. Go ahead.
One possibility, I'm not sure if it's correct, it could mean that the descriptions of the Lord that happen in other kalpas generally happen in the Sarasvati kalpa also.
Really? Things that happen in other kalpas happen mostly, most of them happen in this kalpa also anyway.
Yeah,
but according to Lagu Bhagavatamrita, not many incarnations appear in every kalpa. Kalpa avatars. Yeah, every kalpa. They don't appear in every manvantara. They could, yeah. Most avatars could appear once in every kalpa.
Yeah. Like Krishna, he appears every kalpa. And,
okay. So that would mean that we don't have to worry about description of the Lord's appearance in other kalpa. Of course he appears in other kalpas. He appears in every kalpa. But if we cover the Sarasvata kalpa adequately, then those same avatars appear in a different kalpa. We can describe them just as in the Sarasvata kalpa. That's good enough. Yeah.
And he mentions about the Padma kalpa here.
So
I remember I read something about Padma Kalpa some time ago. I can't remember what it was exactly, but when he wants to start shifting over to the Padma Kalpa, then Sronaka and the others, they kind of stop him and they ask him with a question about Vidura, and it doesn't really get much into the Padma Kalpa.
But it does when you. I think what the idea is that it's in the third canto that the serious description of Padma Kalpa begins. And the reason why Maitreya Vidura is dragged into it, because it's in the discussion between Vidura and Maitreya that the Padma Kalpa is described. Or it begins, at least. So it's not irrelevant to mention Vidura at that point, because Vidura is going to be the hearer of the description of the Padma Kalpa. So I'm making a bunch of notes to myself to correct some mistakes, spelling mistakes, space, extra spaces and things. Okay, Nityanandapu had his hand, but is this just about this point we're already discussing? Yeah, go ahead.
Like if you take the statement from where it comes from, among the various scriptures known on earth, the one that recounts the histories of the humans and demigods of the Sarasvata Kalpa is called the Bhagavatam.
It looks like this statement is focusing just on the Sarasvata Kalpa.
Yeah, but the Bhagavatam does so to a large extent because it is...
Does what?
It does describe the histories of humans and demigods of the Sarasvata Kalpa. If you look at the Bhagavatam...
Well, at least beginning with the third canto, it's all Sarasvata Kalpa.
It's all Sarasvata Kalpa, yeah.
In the sixth canto, it shifts to a different manvantara, to the current manvantara. There was six manvantara in the seventh, but it's all within Sarasvata, the current kalpa.
You start Svayambhuva Manu creates, and then, I don't know, there's the creation of Brahma for this day. I don't know if it's all described that it's. And then you have Varaha. And then all the genealogical tables.
Yes. That's all in Sarasvata Kalpa.
And they go through all the Manus up to the seventh Manu, is it?
And when you get to the eighth canto, the rest of them are covered.
Yeah. The eighth canto, all the Manus are covered. Then the ninth canto, you have all the dynasties.
Yes.
And then at the end of the ninth canto, you have Krishna.
Yes.
So sometimes there is narrations of the Lord.
But what about narrations in other kalpas? And what we mostly get is description of the, you know, other Kalpa's description is there in the first and the second canto, the description of creation at the beginning of Brahma's life. That's the, what is that called? Isn't that called the Padmakalpa? Thing is, the names are reused every month. So when Brahma enters a new month, there's another Padmakalpa every month. Okay, anyway, to distinguish it, we can call it Brahmakalpa. The first day of his life. That's described in the second canto especially. When Brahma wakes up and says the prayers to Vishnu in the ninth chapter of the third canto, that's already the current Kalpa. He's 50 years old, 51 years old. Yes?
But in the Bhagavatam, we see that the Supreme Lord, when he appears, it's all in relation to these devotees, like Kardharma, for example, we just saw in the third canto,
yes,
of devotees that are in the Sahasrara Kalpa. So how... what is this narration about the Supreme Lord mostly concerned other kalpas?
Well, mostly just description of the creation at the beginning of Brahma's life in the second canto. Because at the end of the second canto, Shukadeva says, I've described the Brahma kalpa, now let me tell you about the Padma kalpa. Okay, so he explains it at that point, at the end of the second canto, what's been going on. Okay? But from the third canto on, it's basically Padmakalpa, Saraswata Kalpa, current Kalpa. So we're still stuck with this confusing sentence about Kalpantara Bhagavakata to Tatra Prayaki. I still have to figure that out exactly. Because it's not that the pastimes are mostly occurring, actually also occurring. It's not talking about the pastimes, it's talking about the kata. The kata is Prayaki. What does that mean? Maybe there's something missing here. Maybe there's some words missing. It doesn't seem like the Kalpantara part fits with the rest of the statement.
The Lord of when the narration of the Lord appearing in other kalpas is mainly in the Sarasvata Kalpa.
So what?
I mean,
okay,
the
you know, it was narrated in a discussion between Vidura and Maitreya only 5,000 years ago.
Yeah.
But what does that matter? What the significance of that in this context? So what?
Yeah, I don't know. The people who were speaking, at least they're in the Sarasvata Kalpa.
Could it be that there in the Bhagavatam descriptions of the Lord in other kalpas is just slight? Can Prayaki mean just only a little bit? Not really. I think prior means almost completely. Not the opposite, only a little bit. Yes. I'm sorry this is getting stuck on a minor point, but if we could settle it now, then we can fix it. Yes.
We're talking about the narrations about the Lord, the Supreme Lord, like for example, Vidura. Maitreya, when he's speaking to Vidura.
Yeah, but that's what Machipapu just proposed.
That he's, like for example, he says that I heard it described from Lord Anantashesha, who was speaking
so
to...
So the description of a previous kalpa is actually part of the history of the Padma kalpa, because the discussion in which... we heard about other kalpas. The discussion went on in the Padma kalpa. The current kalpa, I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah, but I think that's also the Padma kalpa. Padma kalpa mato shrinu. Yes. And what's the Padma kalpa? Is it? Okay. We can check it. You can check it from the commentaries at the end of the second canto and the beginning of the first, third canto. Please check it and let me know. But let's move on.
Because the point he says here also is that when those narrations, these other narrations are dedicated, they're stated specifically, okay, now we're going to speak from the Padmakalpa. So if they're a, minority, therefore they have to be specified.
Yeah, but word prayaki doesn't mean minority. That's the problem. The word, that's not the right word. Okay. Nityananda.
In one of the, I think, Jiva Goswami comments, the first canto of Bhagavatam, he quotes a verse where it said, "The after having compiled the 18 Puranas and Mahabharata, Vyasadeva wrote Bhagavatam."
Yes.
If Bhagavatam is included in 18 Puranas, how can you say that after compiling 18 Puranas and Mahabharata?
Shiva Goswami is going to answer. Is going to answer that.
Yeah, yeah. That actually the this Bhagavat, he composed some kind of Bhagavatam before.
Yes.
But that wasn't the real thing.
It was an abridgment.
Yeah. So it's in any form, it's not available now, is it?
The abridged version?
Yeah.
Composed by?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's not. We have, of course, the four-verse version. We have the three-chapter version spoken by Brahma to Narada. We don't have what Narada spoke to Vyasadeva. You know, we get hints that Narada not only told him to meditate, but he also narrated Bhagavatam to Vyas. We're not given that in the Bhagavatam. And if Vyasadeva made a short version first, that's also not in the Bhagavatam.
Is that short? That short version was just a short version, or it had a little different mood because Vyasadeva was not still satisfied in, you know, before compiling this version.
No, it may have been very short.
It has to be really short, or also kind of a
short. Maybe it wasn't given a big audience. Maybe it wasn't published widely. He just told it to somebody, and most people didn't hear it anyway.
Uh-huh.
Okay, but it was spoken at Naimisharanya. This is the point, that 18 Puranas were spoken, including the short version of the Bhagavatam. But it wasn't preserved. When the long version appeared, then it put out of business the short version, and we don't have it anymore. The eternal one is the 18,000 complete version, 18,000 verses.
Just to finalize the point of 18,000, I think some devotees were. I think you suggested once that it is if you divide the number of all.
It doesn't work if you do that. It still doesn't work.
Yeah. Now I heard that somebody in Bharaka Sampradaya Samacharya, somebody did it, counting all these uvachas, and it's something. It came up to the 18,000.
18,000 if you count the uvachas.
Huh?
If you count the uvacha lines.
Yeah. You know something?
I heard that.
No.
Doesn't work? Still doesn't come to 18,000.
Somebody did checked? Oh. So let us, maybe if we could, for our sake, finalize, if Saraga Prabhu can explain what does it mean, 18,000. Because
I can't.
If you count just the shlokas, it's something around 14.
The 14, if you just count the verses as we have them. Okay,
commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. I think it's Viswanath Chakravarti according to this verse. Before reciting Shri Bhagavatam, which one is? Narayanam Namaskritya, Naram Chava, Naram Tama. So, Shri Vishnath Chakravarti, on his commentary on this verse, Narayanam Namaskritya, Naram Chava, Naram Tama.
Yes.
Vim Saraspatini Sam, Tujayam Pao, Bade.
Yeah.
Yes. So he gives explanation that it's like Srimad Bhagavatam is like a mantra, like a Vedic mantra, and each mantra has a specific application. Vinyoga, it has some sage who spoke this mantra and so on. And he and also this list of items includes meter, and he mentioned that meter of Srimad Bhagavatam is Gayatri meter. And actually, if you do it, if you divide all verses of Srimad Bhagavatam into Gayatri meter, it will be exactly 18,000.
I don't know, really, because if you count Anushtups, which is let me just clarify that the standard measurement is usually Anushtups. 1,000 Anushtups is called 1 grunta, because it's used for calculating how much to pay a scribe. You pay him by the gruntas. How many 1,000 anushtups? And for paying a scribe, you count the syllables. So you use the standard measurement of 32 syllables, one anushtup. And yes, Gayatri Mantra is only 24 syllables, so you would get more.
No,
not Bhavatam, anything. If you're paying a scribe to copy anything, you pay him according to how much he writes. And the standard measurement is 32 times 1,000. 32,000 syllables is the unit of measurement. That's 1 grunta or 1,000 anushtups.
Anyway, it was one of the devotees' suggestions. It was a whole discussion in Pemha about this subject. And one devotee, he suggested that if you count Bhagavatam, this much we have now, along with all vacha and so on, all syllables and everything we have, if we divide this quantity of syllables into Gayatri meter, we'll have exactly 18,000.
Okay, it sounds good to me. Let's move on. Count how many Gayatris. Did I miss somebody who had his hand?
We did quite some extensive research of this with Madan Mohan, myself and Madan Mohan, and there's two ways to do it. I can post the information on the school's forum so everybody can get the file if they like. But basically, there's either Ganga Sahayanacharya's way of taking the Anushtup way, like you said, and then that leads you up to about 14,000 verses. And then you take the uvachas and the iti pratimodhyayas, every uvacha line. If you take it as an Indra Vajra verse, which is, you know, 44 syllables. Indra Vajra, you know.
Why?
Oh, that's just how he did it to get the right number, right? So he'd take the uvachas as the Indra Vajras and the iti pratimodhyaya as Indra Vajra, and then if you do that, then you get 18,000. That's one way of doing it. That's Ganga Sahayana's way. Or the other way is if you take this Gayatri approach, but then you can't divide by 24. You have to add, I think we added the Vyahritis and Om, and so it ends up 28, and then you get pretty much spot on 18,000. So anyway, it was just a picky thing with numbers.
You mean if you count 24 syllables, you get too many verses?
Yeah.
Okay. We've got too many statements that there's 18,000 verses. It's got to be 18,000 one way or another.
Yeah. The other thing is that this is a common thing of all the Puranas. The Vayu Purana is supposed to have so many verses, and even this chapter that appears that describes Mahaprabhu is not in the Nag Publisher Vayu Purana.
Okay, but Vayu Purana, according to scholars in the 20th century, the Vayu Purana we have now is hardly the same Vayu Purana.
Right.
Most of it's been rewritten anyway. But you find the same problem with other Puranas?
I've heard even with the Vishnu Purana and with others that...
And they're all short.
They're all short, yeah. It's not
okay, so there's some special way of measuring. It's not some fault of the Bhagavatam. You find it in any Purana.
And maybe some parts have been lost, like this chapter predicting Mahaprabhu is not in that It's not in the Nag Publisher by Purana, for example. And
but I don't. I hope we don't have to assume the part of the Bhagavatam is missing.
Hopefully not. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Damodar Gopal? I'm sorry.
Short question about Devi Bhagavatam. Is it does it have exactly 18,000 verses, Devi Bhagavatam?
I don't know.
If it's so, it would be a little bit suspicious because we have so many.
Well, then we'll have to change our deities and our mantra. I don't know. You can check. We have it upstairs. You can count how many verses are in each chapter.
Maybe I'll ask tomorrow, because it's...
Oh, what do you think? Okay.
I can ask you.
You can ask it, and if it's complicated, we'll put it off.
It's the next section of this Samsara Vadini. We heard that in this passage from the Prabhaskanda about Mahabharata being manifested after the appearance of the 18 Puranas apparently contradicts what Srimad Bhagavatam says. So in this passage, there's a quotation, there's some quotations, but they're not fully quoted, and we do not see the Mahabharata come. The Mahabharata is not...
You mean the Mahabharata's not mentioned?
Yeah, in the section that's being commented upon.
Well, okay. Can we deal with that tomorrow?
Yes.
Can you remember? This is probably important, but I...
Or maybe we can discuss
it. It will be a little complicated. Why don't we do that tomorrow?
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead. Okay, we'll save for tomorrow. We'll stop now. Thank you all. Glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Tattva Sandarbha Ki Jai.